Do you ever find yourself dragged down, tired, trying to escape your stuff? It could be in any room in your home or even in your garage. For me, it is my home office. It always feels a little bit like a dumping ground. So today on the podcast, we're talking with Kim Sneath, who is a clutter coach. We're going to talk about all of the energy that is associated with the things that we collect, the things that are in our home, and how when we are clearing that energetic clutter, we make space for what it is that we truly desire.
You're listening to The Courage Cast, a show dedicated to empowering multi-passionate entrepreneurs to create a new way of being and embody their divine purpose so that they take courageous steps in their lives and business. With a blend of practical and spiritual advice, tune in each week to be inspired to live bravely. Here's your host, Andrea Chris, empowerment coach, author, and your secret weapon.
Hey there, welcome to the Courage Cast. My name is Andrea, and I'm so glad that you're joining me today. You're in for a real treat. We have a repeat guest today on the show, Kim Sneath, who is a clutter coach. And we're going to be talking about all of the energetic clutter that kind of accumulates in and around us. So whether it be in your home or just even energetically, what can you do to deal with it? And how can you remove it from your life or start the process in doing so? So I'm really excited for you to hear this episode. She has so many great tips for you. But before we get into the episode, I'm also very excited because we are just a few short weeks from beginning the Align Mastermind. And this is something that I have been so excited about. And so if you are interested in hearing more about the Align Mastermind, this is for any female entrepreneur who is really tired of bouncing from network to network and really wants to have a supportive community where she can show up as the most authentic version of herself and really take leadership in her own community when it comes to being in the corporate space, when it comes to being a coach, a creative, an artist. So if you're interested in knowing a little bit more, I have put the link in the show notes for you, and you can go to andreacrisp.ca/mastermind. Kim, welcome to the Courage Cast, or I should say, welcome back to the Courage Cast. I have very few repeat guests, but I'm very excited to have you back. And it has been several years since we have actually talked on the podcast itself, but I'm really excited to have you back on the show. And I was, you know, as we were talking just, I guess, last week, probably, I think it was last week, about really about energetic clutter and all of the things that really influence and impact our lives, I was just thinking about, oh my gosh, I really do want to talk about this on the podcast and really how it impacts so many of us without even knowing, probably. So many things without even knowing. So I would love for you, because I'm sure that there is so much that's changed in your life and even how you help and serve people. I'd love for you to introduce yourself since the last time you were on the show. I'd love for you to introduce yourself, who you are and who you serve.
Oh, well, it's such a pleasure to be back. Thank you for that. So I help busy women eliminate overwhelm and get organized, both physically, mentally, and emotionally, by looking at the root cause of the clutter, like why did it happen in the first place, or when really did it happen, and then why are you attracting clutter over and over again? Even if you've tried a whole bunch of things like hiring somebody, reading all the books, moving houses sometimes, why does it keep coming back?
And how did you get into this? That's the big question.
Yeah, a lot of people ask me that. I was sort of like an accidental entrepreneur. My whole life, I wanted to be a singer, dancer, actor, and I went for that dream. So I was in musical theater for 10 years, based out of Toronto. And then, you know, it's a hard industry to get cracked into. I had some really great gigs and so on. But I also wanted other things in my life, like a beautiful home, like travel. And it just was no longer matching up with those goals. And then accidentally, I staged my own home in Toronto, we had 9 offers, $100,000 over asking. And my realtor said, you know, if you wanted to start doing this, we could start sending you clients. And I was like, okay. And I was all nervous, you know, thinking I've got to get a website and all these things that entrepreneurs think we have to do. And I did. That was in 2007.
Mm-hmm. And that's how it all began, accidentally. Yeah. And the universe is like, on purpose. Yeah. Accidentally, on purpose, happened. It's so funny. I was just talking today to a good friend of mine, and we send voice notes back and forth almost every single day. And she was telling me that over the past few weeks that she's been really been led to go through her closet and to purge, and then go through her office and release things. And over the past few months, I have felt much the same. And some of it has even been going through files on my computer and like getting rid of things. And I just want to start here because I think like we're going to talk about this, but for me personally, one of the things that keeps coming up is that is no longer me. So it could be something that I wrote, a blog post, some sort of workshop that I hosted or teaching. And I think, I would never even say this again. And I literally feel the need to remove it. And not even like it, not to keep it on my computer. And I went through probably, I would say, over Christmas holidays, days on end that I literally went through file after file after file after file on my computer, just purging things. What is happening there?
Good
when that's happening?
Good for you. Well, follow that call, and you are, and it feels good, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And in there is the beauty of the gifts that you're getting along the way of seeing, wow, look how far I've come. Look how much I've grown. These words don't fit anymore, just like an old sweater. So you're being called perhaps to look at this so that you can transition to your next level, your next 2.0, 3.0, whatever. Yeah. And perhaps there are some gems in there that spark some sort of idea, new idea that might get birthed forward from going through that process. I too have literally in front of me, besides the computer I'm on, the old computer that is sitting here on my desk that I just charged that I have to erase, that I was told, oh, you know, it'd be a good idea to keep it because it's a total just in case if this, you know, whatever happens, great place to keep your photos and blah, blah, blah. Well, it's been 3 years. I've never opened it. And this is money sitting here. I can, once I do that task, put it online to sell and I can make some money. So it's also, we're in North America. This is just the time of year where we're hibernating, we're wintering. If you're not a big winter fanatic, you're inside. And so you see all and you feel the energy of all your stuff a lot more because you can't escape from it on a beach on a summer day.
Mm-hmm. So that's interesting, you know, just even thinking about that. So the energy of our stuff. Mm-hmm. So are you saying, and I mean, I'm going to say yes, you're probably saying this, but I'd love to hear from your perspective. All of our energy has, all of our stuff has energy, basically everything around us.
Well, it came into being because somebody imagined it to be. So somebody imagined the Apple computer and there it is. Mm-hmm. And then at one point you desired it, went to the store, bought it, and there it is. So it's all energy of thought first before it then came. And just like the thing that is we're looking at right now, our computers, the money, and this is where it can bring a nice tie into money, is that's just energy as well. Mm-hmm. So when we get all caught up in lack thinking and I can't afford that and so on, that's buying into energy that isn't serving us, that is our ego maybe keeping us safe, don't spend the money, save it. worrying about needing it one day rather than answering the call to put some energy out there. And sometimes it's in the form of money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting that you say that because I went through a period last year where I felt like I needed to sell some things. Mm-hmm. And there have often been times where I've been like, just as you were mentioning, you know, selling your computer, but yeah. There's often been times where I felt differently, like I need to actually get rid of it or I need to gift it. Is there a difference there that's happening when we feel like we're doing different things, like giving it, selling it?
Yeah, I think there is. And I think that's really to the individual to ask. Mm-hmm. So you might ask yourself some open-ended questions like, how does this make me feel? What am I learning from this? What is this teaching me? That type of thing.
Yeah. Because I know for myself, like I was thinking, okay, am I doing this out of scarcity? Like, do I want to sell this because I feel like I need the money? Or
okay. So the answer to that is, how do you feel? Mm-hmm. So if you're selling it, like I'm not excited to go through the process of doing that with my computer, but I'm excited to get the money because I am about to travel. And I think of that as like, ooh, that's dinners or a flight or who knows what.
Yeah.
So that the result of it is exciting. So I'm going to follow through with that. Mm-hmm. And because there's a time limit on that, it's making me do it. It's keeping me accountable to do so and lighten my load and transfer the energy of something that's no longer useful to me to something that's going to be useful. So if you don't feel good, ask yourself, what is it that doesn't feel good? Something like, what must I believe is true to feel this way? So if I'm feeling anxious over letting it go or overwhelmed or tired, what's the real underlying belief there? Because it's probably just a belief.
Okay. And so, but it's like, I like how you phrase it. You're saying if you're selling something, it's like transferring the energy from what this currently is, which is a computer that you don't use, into a dinner or a flight that is going to be fun for your trip.
Yeah.
So that energy, can you explain that a little bit more? Like, what does that mean? Like that transference of energy into something else?
Everything is, so what you think about comes about. And if you look at like a pie chart and you imagine like if I want to build more excitement, I fill my pie chart with more excitement. So I'll go online and I'll look about, I haven't booked a hotel yet. So then I'll start looking and I'll be like, well, I should probably spend this amount. But if I build more excitement, but I can spend this amount because I've sold this and that, and I brought in this new client, and I brought in this new client because I sat down and I did the webinar. Like it's this whole domino effect of effort and energy that if we focus more on the positive energy we want to create and the positive emotions, we will move things forward. Mm-hmm. So focus on excitement rather than nervousness, let's say, or I don't know, what's the opposite of what selling this computer? It feels kind of boring to me to have to do the little process of selling the computer.
Yeah.
But the excitement is stronger than that boredom.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. And so when you're thinking about like, you know, because I know you work with people who are like trying to get to the root cause of like what their clutter is. So they're coming to you usually for what reason at the beginning?
I always ask that. And usually they've either just reached the point where they're like, I have tried everything. I have beat myself up long enough. I am stuck. I am not moving forward. I guess I really do need help. And sometimes there's shame and embarrassment and guilt linked into that. I should be able to take care of my home. I should be able to do this. But with that is the realization of finally I can ask for help. Mm-hmm. And so when I do come over, when I do have the call with them, sometimes there's tears because they're just so relieved that they're getting the support and non-judgmental help that they need. Can you ask your question again?
Yeah. So when they come to you, like, what are they usually coming? What's the problem that presenting?
So then the other part of it is just life circumstance, like any life coaching or breakthrough coaching, what I do, a life circumstance may have shifted them into that. So from inheriting their parents' stuff because a parent passed away, to moving, changing careers, to a divorce, a marriage. These are all big shifts. And when those are big shifts in life, which are big shifts in energy, which then have a reverberation on where you live and therefore your stuff.
What happens when we are keeping things around too long?
What happens is we feel dragged down. We start to feel tired and we don't know why. And we escape the house. So we're actually spending more money than the house that we're already spending money on with our heat and our mortgage and so on, to escape that place that we spend so much time and effort to have in the first place. Mm-hmm. So it's like your roof is a big lid on a big storage locker of which we don't want to be around. And I say that your home can be the plug into your energy. It can be the basis for all that you do. It can be the place of sanctuary and energy and coming together as a family and building your business from. It can be everything. It can be your foundation. But a lot of people are treating it like this place to escape from.
Right. So there's, you know, people when they're building businesses and, you know, entrepreneurs, and they're working from home, and maybe they're working where, you know, their spouses or their kids, and everybody, of course, is bringing the amount of things into the, you know, into the mix.
Yeah.
That may not even be theirs.
Yeah.
How do we deal with that? Because I've, you know, had conversations with different people over time. Like, I'll use one of my aunts as an example, who her husband always keeps and will never get rid of things.
Yeah.
And, you know, it could be where, you know, you have a teenager and the teenager is hoarding things and, you know, or not wanting to get rid of things. And you just never know, like, you could be, you want to be able to get rid of everything or start the process, but you're coming up against resistance.
Yeah. So when I help families and when I help couples, I usually one person is calling me. So I'll say, we're going to start with you first. And then you are going to be the model of behavior that sets the tone for the whole house. Mm-hmm. Because it's kind of hard to be a little talking about everybody else's stuff when you still have your own clutter. And once you deal with your own clutter and you've got your clothes hanging and your laundry going and you're not forgetting things as you come and go from the house, other people are going to start taking note and your energy is going to start lifting and they're going to be attracted to that. So rather than harping on and pushing and arguing, mm-hmm. you can just put forth your own efforts on your own project for your own reasons. Then from that sort of stable place, you can then work on communal clutter or communal places in your home, like the entryway where everybody's coats and things go, the kitchen where everybody eats, the laundry room, let's say. Mm-hmm. And then you can be the leader there because it matters most to you, and declutter that area and set up that area so that you can best organize it and run it. And then from there, this is where it can get challenging. And this is where I would suggest getting expert help.
Yeah.
Is you might have an ADHD person. You might be arguing too much about it. You have different learning types. So knowing about those is what I end up helping people with, because when we get to the solution part after the decluttering, that's very dependent on these things I was just mentioning, your learning type, what other challenges are there.
Okay, so there's definitely some steps that go into it if you have more of a complex situation than just, you know, you're on your own doing it, you know, for yourself.
Definitely. And
okay.
The four steps to getting organized are Declutter first, sort like with like, contain and label, and then maintain. And a lot of people don't do that last step, which is why then they think that their efforts were either wasted or the system didn't work, but they didn't maintain it. And in the maintaining, if you realize that, well, this just isn't working, knowing how to change the system that you set up that isn't working. Mm-hmm. So that's where it can get quite detailed. But when you do those four steps, then you are simply, once you get to that end, you are simply maintaining and maintaining and maintaining. You're just putting the paper in the file folder. You're just hanging the coat on the hanger. You're just doing the laundry. You're just running the dishwasher. It's simple at that point.
Mm-hmm. Now, I would love to like kind of get a little granular with a few things, you know, because I'm sure people are going to have, you know, questions around, you know, their home office or their closet, you know, things that, you know, make a difference for an entrepreneur, you know. Mm-hmm. So let's first, I'd love to start with the home office because I think that'd be interesting. So what are some things that you have seen, you know, when it comes to people and their home office and maybe why they're stuck in their business?
Yeah, well, a lot of people don't have a whole lot of space because they have multiple people living there and multiple needs. So often I see a home office be also a spare room. So it's thought of as, let's just put it in the spare room at Christmas. Companies coming. So let's just put it in the spare room. And then that hangs around to about now, here we are in February. To, oh my God, let's clean up the spare room because now we have a guest coming and that's where the fold-out couch is. So how do you ever get focused and have energy that is entrepreneurial in that kind of environment? So as much as you can, dedicate a space. It could be a closet that you remake and close the doors and that's your home office. It could be a spare room. It could be, you know, a landing on a second floor or something. But really, really try to get the energy in a mindset of entrepreneurialism, which is successful, which is abundant, which is focused. So what are all those things? Well, you don't want a lot of things and you want only what you need, like a comfortable desk and chair, good lighting, maybe an inspiring piece of artwork or two, some place to put your papers, some place to put your office supplies, and then some quiet, focused time where if somebody comes in, you're not going to be embarrassed in front of your middle of your Zoom meeting or something.
Right. You know, as you say that, because I feel like I'm guilty of this, you know, of it being a multi-purpose room. And I was even thinking in preparation for the call today, I was like, okay, this is really interesting. I will notice if I have things that are kind of lingering around in this space before I get on a call, I feel more distracted or I am just a little bit more, I'm less at ease for certain things. And I've often like, you know, chalked it up to like, well, there's not really much I can do about this. You know, this is the situation that it's in. What would you say to me in that case? Is that an excuse?
Well, even taking 5-10 minutes to just tidy stuff up and put it even just like where we are both facing forward in one direction, putting it off to the side because I'm not looking all around the room right now. I actually do have stuff directly behind me. I showed you before we started. Because I am planning a trip and that's where I was laying out some clothes, but I don't even see it. You don't see it. And so it's not really in our focus right now. So for an hour, I can be very intentful on what I'm facing right here in front of me. And that's okay. Another thing you can do is center your energy. Just like I start every morning with Qigong or some sort of morning practice, some breath work, meditation, yoga, you can do a quiet moment of that for a couple of breaths, a couple of minutes before you're about to work. And that can help shut out all the distractions. You're just coming into focus, quieting the mind, grounding the body, and being here now.
Because I often think to myself, especially when I'm, you know, working, there's certain things that I find I work better in different spaces.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, oftentimes, like if I'm writing, where I am right now is not the space I want to write in.
Okay.
And so, but I don't mind doing like coaching in this space or podcasting. Like it seems to be fine for that. But if I have to do anything that's more administrative or it's taking more bandwidth, I don't actually want to work here.
Yeah.
So that's interesting that I'm thinking, I'm like, oh, well, maybe. And it, but it also doubles as my closet.
Mm.
And so there's clothes. So that, which is the next thing that I wanted to ask, because we had had a kind of a conversation about this a little bit, but what is it with our clothes and hanging on to things in our closet that are no longer serving us?
Of all the categories of stuff, clothes are, would be, if you were to come over to my place, would be the thing I have the most stuff. And so I get it on clothes. I love clothes. They're an expression of our creativity. They're an expression of the abundance we feel or not. They take us through season to season. So we really feel like, oh, spring is coming, and I'm gonna put on that top, and oh, winter's coming, and I'm gonna get on that cozy sweater. So they really have a lot of emotion tied in and a lot of energy. And we put a lot of energy into gathering these things. Either we've hand knit the sweater or somebody did for us, or we went shopping and found that sale, or we bought the thing and we spent a little too much money on it. Now we're feeling guilty because we've hardly used it. So as you can see, there's a lot of money. And what I ask my clients when we're about to do their closets is I say, do you want to open a closet of guilt and regret and start your day like that? Or do you want to open your closet and go, I can't wait to start the day. I looked fabulous and everything in here. I can literally pick out whatever I want. And that's freedom. So right, again, when you take that pie chart, what are you focusing on? The gap or the gain? Are you focusing on, I want to feel fabulous? Or are you focused on the gap? Well, I spent the money. Well, I feel guilty. Well, I didn't lose enough weight and it's not fitting me. Yada, yada, yada. And that drags you down. So think of the energy you want coming out of your closet, and that will help you make those decisions on what, and you want to feel like a 10. So your outfit should be a 10 and represent, you know, that.
Yeah. You know, and it's interesting because I've often thought about, like, you know, what I like to wear, and I like cozy, comfortable clothes. Like that's generally what I want to wear. But there's times where I want to dress up in something cozy and comfortable also. But I have like a pair of pants, and I keep telling myself they're like more of like a sweat pant. They're my walk in the woods pants. They are so threadbare at this point. They're the pant I throw on a Saturday afternoon when I'm lounging around the house, but they're also the pair of pants where I'm like, I've got to get rid of these pants. Like,
okay. So they have some split energy.
Okay.
You've just described two types of energies there. So part of the split is they're not really necessary to replace because, well, no one's really seeing me in these. And if I go for a walk in the woods, I'm mostly covered with my coat anyway. Who cares? Mm-hmm. And why waste some money or time replacing these? But at a certain point, you also want to feel good in your comfy clothes because there's energy there. Mm-hmm. So you'll be drawn to the replacement pair soon enough. And you will find the comfy, cozy, but just uplifted
version.
Yeah. And go get them. And then you'll have so much fun just letting those go and going in the garbage. See you later. Thank you so much for serving me.
Yeah, because I, you know, it's funny, like I bought a few years ago a pair of, or actually four pairs of fleece pants. Now I live where it's cold. And I walk the dog every day, and it is generally cold. And even this morning when I got up, I put the fleece pants on because it's just too cold to not have them on. And, but, you know, it's interesting because I bought four pairs so that I can rotate them around. And, but they're my walk the dog pants. And I come home immediately and take them off because I really don't even want to wear them other than when I'm outside.
Yeah.
Or shoveling.
Yeah.
And so it almost feels like ski pants, you know, like they're useful for what they are. Mm-hmm. And then I put them away. So is it good to keep things that we find use for?
Okay. Great question. So remember how I said everything could be a 10. Mm-hmm. And this is up to you. So useful is one part of that formula. The other part, think of a plus sign between that, is and love. Love and use and love. So do you love them still? Great, keep them, even if they're threadbare. If you don't love them anymore, they might be dragging down your energy a little bit, and you might consider letting those go and bringing in the new ones.
Okay, so if you don't both use and love them.
That's a 10.
Okay.
That's a 10. But we often have things that we use and we just keep using them because we don't want to be wasteful. Then they have use and that's cool. And we have stuff that we love, but we don't even use them. And so both of these can be considered clutter, especially if we have too much stuff. Mm-hmm. If we have a minimal amount of stuff, that's okay. If we love it and use it, that's a winner.
I have noticed for my clothing, especially, that I will lately, I'll look at it in my closet and like, that's got to go. Or I put it on and I take it off. And then I try it again 2-3 weeks later, put it on, take it off. And then I find myself thinking about it like, I got to get rid of that sweatshirt. And I liked it at one point, but I put it on and it no longer feels right.
Yeah.
It's like I look at it, I'm like, I don't feel the same as I used to feel in this. Is that just I've changed?
Yeah.
And the energy of that no longer serves me? Is that how that, what?
That's right. So ask yourself, what's the worst thing that could happen if I let those things go?
Okay. Nothing.
You know, exactly. So what's the best thing? Well, something new would come in that I'd love.
Mm-hmm. So
why am I blocking that?
Okay. So let's talk about that. I love that because I was going to ask that, you know, like talking about how the universe loves a, you know, an empty space, a vacuum and fills it. Is that really what we need to be doing when we want a replacement for something, or are we looking for the replacement before we get rid of it?
It depends on where you're at, and you will feel that calling, just as you've talked about early on in our call. If you're not feeling called, the time is not now. Mm-hmm. As soon as you feel the pressure or the weight or the change, or like you were just describing, it just doesn't feel right anymore. Look at that, because your feelings are your GPS. They are your guidepost.
Okay.
And follow them like breadcrumbs because they're there to help. The sooner we follow the feelings and do something about it, the sooner we make changes, bring new things in. And what's wrong with that?
Okay, so it can happen. It doesn't necessarily, you have to get rid of it to have it. It could be just following through with what your intuition is telling you about that particular thing.
Yeah.
Okay, I love that because often you do hear, it's like, oh, no, you have to make space for it and then it'll, you know. But I think sometimes, you know, I've been thinking about a car that I've had for years. And I think to myself, okay, it's time for it to go. And this is an active conversation I've had with myself about this car for a while now. And I remember at one point saying, okay, universe, if you're ready to take this car, I'm ready to give it up. Like, I'm actually ready for it to go. But I'm not, you know, telling it how it needs to go. I would like it to not get into an accident.
Yeah, it won't
that's
do that.
You know, but I was like, I'm just trying to figure out like when the right timing is for that vehicle to go. And that's a bigger thing. Like, you know, how do you deal with that for people who are like trying to consider letting go of something bigger?
Okay. So focus on the excitement of something new.
Okay.
So start looking at what the replacement might be and just play with this. This is not serious. It's like, go on the sites, look at the options. What are, ooh, wow, this one's got Bluetooth. Oh, that I haven't had that. This one's got opening lock. I have a 15-year-old car, so I can literally know all the things that I don't have. But I love my car still, and it really does serve me. Yeah. And Honda stopped making the Honda Fit, which bums me out because I would literally just replace it with a Honda Fit again. So what are the things like, ooh, do I want to go to electric? Do I want to go to hybrid? Do I want this? Do I? And just get excited about it. And the more you follow that excitement, the more that you're going to be drawn somewhere that's, or to some conversation that's going to get you there. You won't have to
think about it. Okay. So it's not as maybe as complicated.
Yeah. We're thinking about it too much. Just feel it out, play it out.
Okay. Okay. That makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I have often just thought, you know, I would like, I love the car. Still a great car, which is why I've had it for a long time, and I kept it in good condition. So of course that's why I was able to keep it. But I often think maybe it has another life somewhere. Like it could be that it's going to go to somebody else and it's just the timing's not right yet for it to go to that person yet. Or, you know, whatever, wherever that car, I feel like, I don't know, I guess I'm really attached to this car, but there's a lot of emotional sentimentality because of why I had it and also how I feel and have felt safe in that car.
Yeah. Same. I totally get you. I totally get you. And then that means nothing has to be done about that right now.
Yeah. Until the timing is right.
Yeah, it's just an in-between time.
Okay. That's interesting because I've often wondered, I'm like, oh, like, you know, when you talk about manifestation and people are like, well, no, you got to get rid of it. So that, but I'm like, well, I don't really
We're always manifesting.
Okay.
We never stop manifesting. Mm-hmm. When the thing arrives, we were manifesting every day, the thought of it arriving. So the timing of its arrival is just means it's now here, but we had to put it out into our energetic vortex. So long before it comes in physical form, we are vibrationally bringing it in.
Right.
We're manifesting this conversation about cars. Mm-hmm. We're manifesting seeing the next new love of your life with your car, you know?
Yes, we are.
Or somebody listening to this podcast might be like, what kind of car do you have? I'm looking to buy one.
Like, yeah, no, I know. I think you're bang on. Now I want to ask a question I think probably everyone is wondering, and this is kind of like the big one as we're driving home our conversation today, but literally driving it. Someone is in a position right now where they're thinking, okay, I'm not really where I want to be in my business or my relationships. Things feel off. Maybe they don't have, like, they don't consider themselves someone who has a ton of disorganization, but mm-hmm. they do feel they go into their home or where they live and it just doesn't feel right all the time for them. What would you say to them as far as like, what are some steps that they need to take to evaluate what decisions they need to make as far as like their clutter, moving things, releasing them, you know, to call in a relationship or mm-hmm. more clients or more abundance or a new home even.
Yeah, all of it. First of all, we always have to get clear. This is why I made this the very first module of my Space for Grace online course, mm-hmm. Go Within. It's just like when you work with, when I worked with a life coach years ago, she was actually a business coach and she got me really clear. And then I have used her method since of what in a positive way in the next 6 to 12 months, how do I want to feel with this person that I want to call into my life or in my business? What is exciting about that? How, like, I want to feel free, so on and so forth. And really milk the awesome feelings of it. Mm-hmm. So getting clear is the first step on anything you just mentioned. Once we have clarity, then It starts to feel easier. I have this quote. I'm looking right here because I always need to the sticky note that I have. If the why is powerful, the how is easy. That's by Jim Rohn.
That's good.
So good. If the why is powerful, the how is easy. So going within is clearly stating our why. And do not diminish the magic of speaking words out loud or writing them out. It's magic. It's true magic. I know the universe knows already what we want, and especially our guides. We're already on this life path before we even basically come here. So, but everything's a choice, and the path is not fully laid out. So in this moment, what are you saying? What are you saying to the universe? So if you're saying, I feel scared or stuck or not ready, well, you're going to get more time between that and your goal. Then if you're starting to feel more frustration, well, that's your energy is telling you, you want to move on, but you're focusing on the nitty gritty or like just your clutter and not doing anything about it or whatever the case may be, or little, like, especially starting a business, there are so many things that could hold us back. Like, well, I better get a website. It's like, oh, you're putting the cart way before the horse. Let's get excited about the why. Who do you want to serve? What good do you want to do in the world? What's your mission? Mm-hmm. Really big picture to then move forward with specifics.
Oh, absolutely. Because I'm sure, like, even when you're, you know, walking through the process of decluttering, I'm sure a lot of the process is around, well, why do you want to use that space?
Yes, exactly.
What's the importance of that particular space? You know, why do you want it?
That, yeah.
You know, and I can just imagine, like, you know, thinking about, you know, a home office, like, do you want that room to be utilized as a home office / a guest room? Yeah. And how can it serve both purposes without feeling like it's trampling on either one of them?
So going back to using our words as power, I was just at somebody's house on Saturday, and their room, their spare room, was an exact example of this. I mean, there was a shelf with grow lights for plants. Nothing was growing there. Mm-hmm. The lights aren't on. So what does that signal to the universe? Like, no growth. In a room that also has a small old desk that's not conducive to studying, her need to study right now to up-level her skills for her job. And it's like it was awkwardly placed in the room. So the energy coming at her is just not grounded, not focused. She has a grandson occasionally coming over. So there's a box of toys of his in there. And then there's an unmade bed with a whole bunch of papers on it and a giant filing cabinet. We no longer need these giant filing cabinets. No. This, it was a true spare room. By the end of 3 hours, I said, now you can call this your office, your home office, your creation zone, whatever you want to call it. But don't call it a spare room anymore, because if you call it a spare room, you're going to treat it as a spare room.
Right? Yes.
Same as your house.
That's
true. Treat your house like a person. How have you been treating this person? I hate my house. I hate this back entry. I hate the, it's so small. Would you speak like that to a person? So how can you nurture your love for what you already have and then make this, like, optimize the space, make it the most of what you have.
Okay. That's great. That is amazing advice. And I think, you know, like, so starting with one particular, you know, maybe area that you want to focus on right away, yeah, and go.
So going to, like, procrastinators and perfectionists might go through or ADHDers will go to clean up the whole kitchen and the laundry room. And that meanwhile, they haven't started their business and that spare room is left untouched for months. So eat that frog, as the book says, go do the hard thing first, go to that back room, ignore the kitchen for now. And really don't be scared of drawing in your dream of starting the business. You'll find out if it's meant for you or not just by setting up that spare room into your home.
And Now, just correct me if I'm wrong, but this kind of came to me as you're saying that. So say if, you know, you're in a place where you're like, well, I can't really like afford to do too much to the room, but just even starting the process and setting it up as you can now and starting to enjoy it now will indicate, okay, universe,
definitely,
I would like more of this.
Yeah.
Like, you know, more of enjoyment in my space. Then you might find a desk that you really like, or
a
plant to put in the room, or
energy will come forth to fill that desire.
Okay.
So like this person that I was serving on Saturday, she doesn't have a whole lot of money flow right now. And so she had the one session, and that's how she invested. And now I gave her some homework. She has energy, excitement moving forward. She knows now what type of desk. So she has some clarity. Like I said, get clear, go within. And before she didn't have that guidance, now she had me over. And the hard part of going through the stuff, shifting her mindset on stuff, there was a giant box of DVDs and CDs. And I pulled up Spotify on my phone and I said, what music do you like to listen to? And she named it, I searched it and I pressed play. I said, it is that close to your fingertips. You don't need this old dusty box of old. We're hanging on to old technology because of fear that we can't afford the new or we're not techie. And yet our spaces are full. So bring, and there's so much more to access online. You could be getting a cool podcast about like this one,
yeah.
You know, rather than some dusty old CD or a movie you've rewatched.
Yes.
Like, let stuff go.
I noticed just the other day, you know, when I was thinking about things that I want to do, and I've been just, you know, saying, okay, I'm open to more opportunities. And it's interesting because I was asking people to be on my podcast. And just today, I had somebody ask me to be on theirs. And I thought, isn't it interesting that when I am extending that the universe is like, okay, also, yes, now you. And so, you know, just there's that beautiful synergy that happens. And I want to just share one story before we go. And this is a great example of what you're talking about. So my mom has sisters, and one of her sisters is older than her and was making a move to actually live in Halifax with her son, and lives in the Toronto area, big house in the Toronto area.
Yeah, yeah. That's
and has amazing. Had significant issues happening in her life, and was really not, like, I guess, saying willing to move. Like,
yeah.
Didn't want to sell the house, didn't want to do anything. And my mom and her other sister, who are still alive, that there's three, there used to be four, went and spent weekends, plural, going through her house and purging everything. And it was really interesting to watch this happen, because both my mom and my other aunt, whose house it was not, came home and started doing the process in their own homes. And said, I don't want to get to a time when this is what has to happen for me.
Yeah.
I want to do it. And I noticed my mom have this huge shift of being able to release things. And it was really interesting, because I thought, oh, I've been telling her for ages, Mom, you've got to get rid of stuff. You've got to get rid of stuff. And finally, when she had to do the process with somebody else and walk them through, you don't need this. This is not even going to come in your suitcase. Why are we keeping this? You know, she came home and was so willing to release things.
Yeah.
And I saw from the aunt who ended up moving a huge, and I could feel it energetically, a shift in her. A releasing of things in her life and the past that was so not what she wanted to carry anymore.
Yeah.
And such a beautiful, and I thought it took her a really, really long time to get there. But man, what a beautiful thing to see now.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, even at this age, it doesn't matter how old you are. It's a matter of just, are you willing to do it and let go? So I thought that was a really beautiful testimony to, you know, letting go.
I love that story. And that's what I get to witness often. And that's why I love this work so much, even after 15 years. And it's like a spark, isn't it? It's like you've lit the fuse and whoosh, mm-hmm. and it has these offshoots and it affects people around you. And it's like a great virus that catches.
Yeah.
The cluttering virus. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Now, before we go, I'd love for you to share a little bit about the course that you have in case people are, you know, interested in connecting with you or are thinking, yeah, you know what, this might be what I need.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Well, it all starts with the conversation, because to do this, as your story just showed, it's quite an intimate process. So you have to be comfortable and feel trust in the person who you're going to have as your guide if you're going to hire someone like myself. And so starts with a conversation. So on my website, which is my name, kimsneath.com, you can find a button to click to book a free gift call. It's 30 minutes. It's no obligation. And it's where you can talk about exactly where you are, ask your questions, find out what the path could be. And we can go forward from there, whether it's locally here. I'm based in the Greater Moncton area, but I serve people internationally because I do, I've got my online course, like you were just mentioning, called Space for Grace. Mm-hmm. I'm literally starting in another hour, the first call for my group that's running, right, just starting.
Awesome.
Yeah, so I have those start every once in a while. And they'll be going through the program materials and then having a call with me to support and so on and teach them. And then on Tuesday nights, I have something that's newer that I started just before the new year called the Clearing Club. And what that is a session with me. You can drop in, you can be a monthly member, a founding member, and you can ask any clutter question under the sun, mm-hmm. or you can come for more of the emotional clearing work. It's an intimate group and it's growing. So that's another way that I can serve you. And then of course there's my one-on-one where we can work together via Zoom. We can work together for as short as a month up to really one session too, but I recommend a month up to 3 months for real transformation.
Amazing. Well, we're going to put all that in the show notes for anybody who's interested in connecting and finding out more. And I really honestly thank you so much for being on the podcast again. It just, you know, I just love how we can reconnect over, you know, different times in our lives, but also how there, you know what, like the universe always brings back exactly what you need to hear. And if you've come to this podcast episode today, you probably needed to hear this for some reason. So I encourage you to reach out to Kim. And Kim, thank you for being on the show today.
Oh, thank you so much, Andrea. Pleasure.
I don't know about you, friend, but I am totally ready to go through every area of the house and clean it up. That got me so motivated. And one of the areas that I wanted to start with first is my clothing and my home office, really all of the spaces. And as I mentioned, I just think it's so important that we create that energetic space for ourselves to really have that expansion, both in our lives personally and in our business. So thank you, Kim, for coming back onto the podcast and talking with us. If you'd love to connect with Kim, her information is located in the show notes as well. And until next time, remember, you have everything you need to live bravely.
If you enjoyed this episode of the Courage Cast, we'd love to hear from you. Leave us a rating and review, and while you're there, make sure to follow along on your favorite podcast player so you never miss an episode. Original music and production by Stephen Krillin.